Jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, January 21st, 2016. Suppose you all need to know, be reminded what day it is, right?
I think that's for our benefit.
Yeah, I do believe that to be the case. We're coming to you live, ladies and gentlemen, from our radio and television studios here located in beautiful the tundra, that is Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live every weeknight, which is Monday through Friday for those people with issues about that, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be, folks. Global Star, the place to be. Best sound quality, wonderful sound quality in a far reach. Man, if you see the map about Global Star's reach, you can see where we're heard basically, you know, well, worldwide, folks. And we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can also watch us on YouTube. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at our home base on the internet at HagmanandHagman.com. And what we're doing, and we're in the midst of this, we're also bringing up HagmanReport.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com. But the Hagman Report is going to be where the news articles are. Hagman and Hagman, just merely for show information, to watch the show live, to hit archived shows, and so on. More on that later. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. It's what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We dig deep into, the forbidden topics of, the topics of the corporate mass media. The Illuminati-controlled corporate mass media won't. And, you know, it's funny because we were talking earlier about the Illuminati-controlled mass media. And what is that? Is the Illuminati just some sort of a fanciful delusion of the conspiratorial right or conspiracy theorist pejoratively? No, it's not. You know, it's a group of power. Well, it's a group of small group of ever diminishing group or consolidating group, I should say, of power elite. Portions of tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Oh, man. Folks, if you haven't heard of Whole Tones Live, it's a wonderful service they provide. And I got to tell you, we're customers of Whole Tones Live. You know, if you're sick and tired of being stressed and overwhelmed and seemingly overwhelmed and it's just like everything's kind of coming together all at once and you're really stressed out, turn off the televisions and turn on Whole Tones Live, the products from there. You can experience the scientifically proven powers of musical therapy with WholeTonesLive.com. It's a collection of proven music therapy it does help you reduce stress. It helps you think clearer. It eases your mind. It can even act to motivate you. Different frequencies do different things. And it's proven. It's been, you know, there's healing music. There's music that reduces anxiety and stress. Folks, go to WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. More on that later in the show. We have a great show for you planned for tonight. We don't have any guests coming on. We are going to be talking about certain news items that will affect, and well, it's coming. I mean, World War III is in full battle status, I suppose. It just hasn't gone hot, has it? Anyway, we're going to be talking about the important parts of World War III. And Joe, you know, you've done a lot of research on this. Let's kind of give an outline of what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Absolutely. And the title of the show, War on All Fronts, is really a title to, and it deals with war in two ways, the overt war and overt wars versus the subtle wars. we see that the, and a great example of this is the spiritual war that we're going to be and are constantly in, is subtle to most, overt to some. And we see the increasing and rising tensions and the veil thinning in that spiritual war as it's becoming more overt to many. This is just one area of, you know, we're going to get into tonight. We have a war on the economic policies, a war on money, really, a war on people using money that is overt and subtle. And that comes from, you know, the government. It comes from the oligarchs and the bankers. We have a physical war for geographical and other resources in the world and on different parts of the globes. So we're going to be going over the different parts of what World War III will look like. And is World War III what some would say Armageddon? And what will be in happening in the end? Will it be a world war that ends it all? I say no.
I don't believe it's going to be Armageddon at all.
I say we have World War III before we have the return of Jesus and the thousand-year millennial reign. And I say we have a separate conflict that ushers that in also.
Very astute of you.
We'll get into that here in just a bit.
You know, if I can, just...
I know, do you have... Can you hear me in your headphones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. And it's okay, since... I could hear Todd talking before the show, and
is
I could
this
hear
thing
you
on?
Sitting next to me. I guess I don't need to hear you in the headphones, just to want to know what was going on.
Huh. Well, no. Yeah, you know, speaking of war, and this is something that I think is important to me anyway. I mean, I think it's important to everybody. To set the backdrop, I mean, the war that we're facing right now, war on all fronts, obviously the title speaks for itself, but think about this, ladies and gentlemen. We are fighting this war, and it's a long war. We are fighting this on different fronts, obviously, from the title, meaning different theaters of operation. Remember, during World War II, we had... Well, what did we have? We had the Pacific Theater. We had the European Theater. The same here, except that the fronts are even more disparate, even more in number, as well as disparate type of fronts. Now, having said that, it's very interesting. One of the casualties, I believe, of war, this war that we're fighting, is something that I had numerous conversations on the telephone with people today, and it's something that I believe is very insidious to this war. Now think of that word, insidious, and I use that extremely, I mean, I believe that's that to be what we're seeing right now is insidious. To set the stage for what I'm going to be just talking about briefly here, Coach Dave Dobmeier, America's coach, actually, he went to Tennessee this past week. And he the reason he went to Tennessee is because they were debating down there about bringing up a bill to outlaw homosexual marriage, because you see states still have rights, and this is a very important part in the war in which we're fighting right now, is the war against Christians, and it's a war against morality, and it's a war against evil, and it's a war against God by those who are adherent to the evil. But the insidious part, you never expect people on your own team to go off the rails, right? You never expect people who are your friends, your allies, the guy next to you in the foxhole to frag you. You don't expect that, nor should you. We're all on the same team, right? And I often think of the book Blood on the Altar. perhaps one of the most prescient books now with respect to Christians going after Christians and Christians being in the crosshairs. I mean, not only are we in the crosshairs of the non-Christians, the Muslims, the pagans, the Satanists, but we're in the crosshairs of other Christians. And when I first heard Dave Dobmeier's video, he's actually in this vehicle. It's only a 1 minute video. And he said a couple of things about his experience in Tennessee. And it made me think. It made me think about everything that's gone on over the last year, 2 years, whatever it might be. And the increase in the taking out one's own, fragging the friendlies. I don't know how else to describe it. So, with your permission, ladies and gentlemen, and Eric, if we can cue up Dave Dobmeier's video, have a listen, have a look.
Well, good morning, friends. Coach Dave, back in Ohio. Picked up a little bit of a cold, got a real hoarse voice here this morning. Back from Tennessee and the fight for traditional marriage. We lost that fight yesterday in committee 4-1 when the committee did not vote to send it to the floor where it would have won for sure. And as usual, the greatest enemies are those of our own household. David Fowler, a leader of one of the pro-family groups down there in Tennessee, did everything he could to protect the Republicans and keep the bill from coming to the floor. One proud representative stood up and told everybody in the room that he was a proud Christian man and he didn't even need to ask the Lord what to do on this bill. And then he voted for homosexual marriage. That's the stuff we're fighting against, but the fight goes on. This is just the first round. A lot of times, a heavy blow is hit dealt in the first round, and it shows up later. So we'll keep fighting. Appreciate all of you standing with us. If we fought like this in 1973, babies wouldn't be being killed today. So God bless you. Keep close to the videos. We'll keep shooting them out. God bless.
All right. You heard the words of Coach Dave Dobmeier. God bless that man. That's one guy I want in the foxhole next to me when the bullets start flying. That's one guy that has a lot of integrity and a lot of. I mean, you know what? You're never gonna keep Coach Dave Dobmeier down. PTSalt.com, PTSalt.com. And I would urge everyone to support his ministry. I mean, this is a guy on the front lines, and he's doing a fantastic job. He is changing the landscape of this country. I mean, that is one guy that is actually changing single-handedly the landscape of this country. And, you know, he's not letting a defeat get him down. He's not letting he's like the Energizer rabbit. But the reason I brought this up, and then we're just going to open this, Joe and I are going to open this for our discussion, but the reason I brought this up is I want to set the stage. We are facing war on all fronts. And one of the things that we need to understand, I believe, is that, you know, none of us are perfect. None of us, and we're all just, and like Joe and I, we're just a couple of guys searching for the truth and trying to make a difference, trying to fight for what's right. We are going to make mistakes. But there is this intentional subversion going on right now within the body of the church. And Dave Dobmeier hit this right on the head. You know, I mean, it's coming from within. It's coming, the general, and I'm not going to repeat the names or you know, but you heard what he said about those supposedly on his side, on our side, on the side of traditional marital values, tanking the vote. Didn't even get out of committee in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's really three different issues. I'll just boil it down to two issues here. There's the fight itself, and then there is the subversion from within. And let me tell you what's at stake here. Because right now, we are just a mere, I believe, months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years away from the pastors in this country and Christians in this country being brought up on criminal charges of hate speech against homosexuals. Now, you might think, well, and I got some emails, and every time I speak about two things, Nazis and homosexuals, I get the most vile emails and the most vile packages. Well, not so much with Nazis, but with homosexuals. But I'm going to put this out there. This is not just about homosexuals. This is about something bigger than just homosexuality. But it all starts at that weak link. That it all starts at that opening that the homosexual sodomite issue provides. Now, think about this. Maybe next year at this time, Joe and I might not be able to talk like this, because maybe next year at this time there will be laws in place where we cannot speak about homosexuality.
Well, they can put the laws in place. It doesn't mean that we're going to follow them.
It doesn't mean that we're going to follow them. God bless you. Eric just sneezed out there. But and that doesn't mean that we're going to follow them, but it does mean that they can bring us up on criminal charges. So are we going to be doing these broadcasts from behind bars? I'm just throwing this out there, but I do believe that we are months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, I don't know, but a very short period of time where talking, we could be brought up on charges, and certainly the pastors, especially of 501c3 corporations, could be brought up on charges of hate speech against homosexuals for talking about them. I believe that we will see attempts made to shut down churches, and Bibles will be removed from public libraries because of what the scriptures say, what the Bible says about homosexuality. I believe that to be the case. That's coming. There was a study released by the First Amendment Center recently. The majority of Americans believe that sodomite equality trumps religious objections. 52% of Americans believe that businesses providing wedding services to the public can't be required by the government to provide services to same-sex couples, even if the business owner has a religious objection to same-sex marriage. Isn't that interesting? When two cherished rights clash, folks, the right to be free from discrimination and the right to follow the dictates of religious conscience, society must make choices, painful choices, that inevitably uphold one at the expense of the other. This, according to Charles Haynes, the director of the Religious Freedom Education Project. According to the latest numbers, most people in this country believe that our commitment to non-discrimination must trump religious objections to homosexuality in the public square of America. Okay, think about that for a moment. So, this is when the tolerant show their intolerance. And please understand, this is not just merely about sodomite marriages, which is an oxymoron. This will extend on all fronts. This is a war that will extend and incorporate and encompass all fronts. It's going to encompass not just homosexual or sodomite unions. It's going to encompass pedophilia. It's going to encompass any type of perversion, sexual perversion there is. You already have the slaughterhouse, as Steve Quayle calls it, you know, the washroom now for transgendered, or I would say gender confused individuals. That's my house. Get it the hell out of my house. That's your house. Get it the hell out of your house. Everyone should be, you know, we should be demanding as Christians and as citizens, I don't care what stripe, but enough is enough. Enough is enough, because we won't have the ability, folks, to have these conversations, at least with this level of candor. Soon, you won't be able to say, you know what, homosexuality and sodomy is a choice. It is not a genetic predisposition. You're not going to have that choice. And if you dare say that, you're going to do so at the expense of whatever you own and at the expense of your freedom. Don't think for a moment that the people who are being installed in the Department of Justice are on your side or on our side. No. Or that they haven't been vetted for these very issues. And that includes the nine terrorists or five of the nine terrorists in black robes sitting in that Supreme Court building in D.C. Now, I'm not, this is not a rant. This, to me, this is an informative and important aspect. So, you've got to look at what is at stake here. You can't sit behind a keyboard, or you can't live on the internet. If you never go outside and you live vicariously through your internet, or seeing just merely a screen, and you're not in the real world, you got a lot of problems. But it's more than the homosexual aspect. But this is a big one. It's a big win. June 26th of 2015 was a big win for the communist, Marxist, Satanist, pagan people. Okay? It was a big win. And it was the door that opened up all of the rest of the perversions. Now, Dave Dobmar said, hey, 73, if we would have fought this hard in 73, we wouldn't have 4,000 casualties per day of innocence. And the blood every day keeps flowing. And everyone just nods and says it's okay. But see, this is what's at stake here. And you know this, ladies and gentlemen. You do know this. I don't have this is not a sermon. This is not a speech. But it's an exposure to something even more nefarious. If you look at if you look at the tragic assault on religious liberty, look at other nations that have gone down the road of sodomite marriage. That's when it gets enforced, and I mean fully enforced. You're going to see pedophilia. You're going to see all levels of perversion. But as it becomes even more enforced, you're going to see Christian pastors who decline to perform gay marriages. You're going to see people speaking out and preaching biblical truths on America, and they will be the people who will be imprisoned. They will be the people who will be fined. We've already seen this.
Yeah, well I was watching a few different documentaries today on YouTube about the certain people and ministries, different opinions on the end times and Armageddon and the alien agenda and manipulation.
Yep.
And one thing I saw from Chuck Missler saying is he said that for a while as a Bible student, he didn't understand how it says in the Bible that the whole world at the end will fight against God before the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus.
Right.
He didn't understand how the earth would be mobilized to fight against God. And he went on to explain now that he sees the alien agenda and how this is playing out, how there could be, aliens that are demons in reality, posed as alien saviors and tell us of a coming enemy, which mobilizes all people toward the fighting of that enemy.
That's right.
But just to hear him say that, just... there's a few different parts of a few documentaries I watched today that put things into perspective. And we've been so mentally manipulated and deceived. We're so far behind the eight ball.
We are. And we, you don't, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need example after example after example. Court cases. You know the court cases. You know the photographer, the baker, the candlestick maker, who have been forced into going against their religious objections, or very simply forced to close their doors. And you might see people on the internet saying, well, boy, you know, the baker or the pizza shop owner or whatever it might be, you know, they had a GoFundMe page and they raised all kinds of money. Yeah, that's fine for one or two or three cases. But what about when it gets down to pastor number 568? No, there's not going to be any support there. The erosion of support is amazing, and it gets tiring after a while. But this is what we're in for: war on all fronts. Now, the war against morality is an issue, but the other issue is what Dave Dobmeier had talked about: war from within. Okay, the guy, the family council man who said no, we're not, you know, who failed to support this measure, was protecting the Republican Party. Well, that's getting fragged by your own side, basically. And this is what the fracturing of the Republican Party is all about, but even more to the point, this is what the fracturing of the church is all about. Now, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a minister, and I can tell you one thing. You could not pay me enough money to be a pastor or a minister. There's no way you couldn't pay me enough money. I wouldn't be good at it anyway. But just from a bird's eye view, from what I see in the church, oh, man. The church has got to get its act together. And you know, I've seen more infighting and more name-calling from self-professed Christians than I've ever seen before in my life. I told Steve, I said, you know what? If I was an outsider looking in at different situations, I would honestly say, if this is what Christianity is all about, sign me up for Buddhism. Don't take this the wrong way. For those people out there who are listening to this and who are inclined to email me saying, you know, oh, you said this. No, listen to the intent here. Listen to the context. How does our enemy envision us? If we are fighting against immorality, if we are fighting a war on all fronts, and we cannot get ourselves together, rally ourselves in the name of Christianity like this guy did in Tennessee that Dave Dobmeier was talking about, in fighting against their own, his own, fighting against one another, how are we going to organize a fight against the enemy? The point is this, that I really just want to drive this home. We have turned a corner, I believe, in this nation and as a church. We have turned a corner. I don't know. I can just speak as an investigator, because I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm an observer. I'm watching what's going on. I'm watching the fracturing of the church body. I'm watching otherwise sane and rational people adhering to irrational and insane lines of thought and actions. Again, look at what happened in Tennessee. Dave Dobmeier is talking about it. We don't need that. I mean, really? If we're on a battlefield, I would hope that we all fight together, fight against the enemy, and not get Pat Tillman'd. It's a shame that we have to use, or we use that as a verb, right? We're already going to get Corzine'd. That's a verb. But I guess what I'm saying to you is, please, you know, look at the bigger picture. Look at the stakes. Look at what's in front. Do we want to lose this battle? Oh, I know we win in the end. We all know that we win in the end. But we have a responsibility, I believe, to get our act together, to understand that our faith is unshakable, and that you know, to look at the bigger picture and stop fragging our brethren. I mean, Coach Dave Dobmeier goes from Ohio to Tennessee to go after potentially change the political landscape of this country, allowed and facilitating states' rights and taking the quite unchristian, quite unbiblical issue of sodomite marriage and allowing it to be a state's rights issue and advancing that agenda. And what happens? He gets fragged from his side. That's got to hurt. However, the other side of that, the good side of that, is what you saw there. Did he leave with, you know, he left beat up and bloody, basically, metaphorically speaking, of course. But did he go slink off in the corner and say, poor me, and create a drama? No. He said, you know what? We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to win. Maybe we didn't win here because, you know, unfortunately, even our own turned on us, and that's not always the case. You know, we're our own worst enemy sometimes. But we're going to win. And we are going to win. But let's lessen the casualties. Do you know what I'm saying? See, everyone wants to push forward this their own personal agenda. Everyone wants to push forward their own doctrinal revelation. Everyone wants to push forward with this. Well, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to give an inch. But there's something called teamwork. Thank God for Coach Dobmeier. Thank God for a coach. Thank God for Coach Dave Dobmeier. I wouldn't want to be a coach either, by the way. At this point, I'm thinking about getting a paper route. But you see what I'm talking about here? Stop the infighting. Stop the political agenda of the so-called people who are protecting, or the so-called Christians, the family councils, who are saying, "Hey, I believe in traditional marriage, but this might not be the best way to do it," and then frag the very people that you're standing shoulder to shoulder with. Don't do that. But if that does happen, and it will happen, let's take a page out of Coach Dave Dobmeier's playbook. Let's rip that page out of there and say, you know what? Hey, learned my lesson there. It's going to leave a mark, but I'm coming back. I'm regrouping, and we're going to fight some more. And you know what? We're going to fight with maybe a different team. We're going to reassemble our team. But people who will play the position. That was a decision I'm referring to, in case people are wondering. That was a decision that was Tennessee had the opportunity to null, you know, to go against the Supreme Court and to exert their state right under the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution to say, no, we're not going to participate in this. At the end of the day, you know what it was all about? It was about the funding. It was about the money, because, see, by doing so, Tennessee would lose that 10, 20 gazillion dollars, or however much they receive in federal funding through the various projects and federal funding and all that, but they could make it up by not paying the feds. See, how this works is, for example, you get federal funding, or a state gets federal funding. Where does that money come from? It actually comes from the state first. They pay the feds. The feds glean some money, and there's this kind of like a washing machine thing going on there, and then they send money back. And everyone's convinced that, oh, well, we can't do this because it would cost us too much money. We'd lose our federal funding. Well, the trick is, you don't play the game. You don't pay the federal government, especially if they're not going to reimburse you through federal funding. So everyone's been brainwashed on the idea, well, if we can't do this because we'll lose money. It's all about money anyway. We'll lose money. No. Not if you refuse to play. The stakes are much bigger. Stakes are much bigger in this war on all fronts. This war against immorality. This war against sodomy. This war against sin. This war against the basic precepts of humanity. That's a bigger picture. And the people who are tanking, the people who are really going against the agenda here, or the objectives to overturn things like homosexual marriage, are the people on our side, under the ostensibly to protect the people that, which they serve. You can read about, folks, you can read about the intricacies of the case. But the intricacies of the case are not, that's not the point. The point is this. We have a job to do. We are under assault. We are under fire. We are under the gun, metaphorically, or as an example. But soon, maybe that will be a real gun. In this case, the war on all fronts, this being immorality, this being sin, most abominable sin in the Bible. This is an important part of the war. It's a very important part of the war. And the message is that, number one, yes, this is a hugely important aspect of the war. And the second part of that message is, we're never going to win if we don't play our positions. And if we maintain, you know, shooting at ourselves and shooting at one another in cases like this. Let's learn from what, I mean, this, that was only a minute 20 second, whatever it was, video. But let's learn from that. Let's heed Coach Dave Dobmeier's advice. Let's learn from that. And let's get our acts together. And let's keep in the game and keep on playing and advancing forward. Because that's what we've been appointed to do here. Because we can tell you all about, and we will. We'll tell you all about what's going on here. We'll tell you all about. We'll tell you about how bad things are.
Run out of white paper.
No. This actually, I was in the mood for Goldenrod. I just like saying the name. So how important is it to you, as a Christian, as a citizen of the country, or as a citizen of your own country? If you're listening to this in Canada, New Zealand, Australia, UK, how important is the objective to you? Hopefully it's very important. So, the war against the Christians, a very pivotal, very, very important aspect of what we're going through. And you know, subverting our efforts. When I say our efforts, Coach Dave Dobmeier's efforts, and those people who are really trying to make a difference here within the geopolitical landscape. Let's leave egos. Let's leave everything at the door. Forget about all that. Drop the drama. Drop the eyes, me's, my's, whatever. And let's play as a team. Let's play as a team to go after the enemies that we're facing. And, one last thing. It's different than it's kind of a left turn from what we're talking about here. Is if you want to know too, speaking of economy and money and such, there's a run on the banks. It's beginning in Italy right now. Italian banks, stocks, their banking stocks are collapsing. Michael Snyder had written this article. The Italian financial meltdown that we've been waiting for has really arrived for a long time. You've been warned. But Italian banking stocks, they're collapsing. In fact, this is the Wednesday. Yesterday was the fifth consecutive day. And watch what the Italians are doing. They're beginning to pull large amounts of money out of the banks. And many banks are not... Well, they're out of money. They're running out of money. You want to know what's coming? You want to know the war on all fronts? It's also economic, and we're going to be getting into this as with Joe coming on. But one-third, this one bank in Italy, one-third of their loans are non-performing. In other words, you know, the people can't repay the loans. So the stock price fell to 57% in the last 21 days. So they're going to need to, this one particular bank, Monte Dia Paschi, is going to need a major bailout. And, well, same thing can be said about most all of the large banks in Italy. But where is that money going to come from? That's the question. And it's going to come from you. Well, if you're listening to this in Italy. But see, this is coming to America. More on the economic war later, but see, people said, oh, well, you know, everything's fine. No, it's not. Oh, it's fear porn. No, it's not. It's doom talk. No, it's not. It's reality. So, Joe, that's all I wanted to say. I just thought, you know, looking at Coach Dave Dobmeier's video was both troubling and an inspiration to me. When I saw it this morning, it was troubling in the sense that we have to go through this, but it was an inspiration that we can all gather together, dust ourselves off, and let's fight it. You know, let's go for to fight another day, right?
Absolutely.
All right,
we have about 13 minutes left in this hour. We're going to hit some news, and we'll get more into the topic into the next hour. A few stories I wanted to hit. Many of us have been paying attention to this economic summit that's been going on in Davos, Switzerland.
Yep.
There's an article today out of Bloomberg Business. Donald Trump is haunting Davos. The spectacle of Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And this is what they say in this article. If Donald Trump, as president of the United States, is the ghost that's stalking Davos, many among the global elite hope he'll be banished by spring. Others see that as awful wishful thinking. I think the nominee will be Donald Trump for the Republicans and Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. Donald Baer, a former White House advisor under Bill Clinton, said in a panel co-hosted by Bloomberg, the next year will be a very uncertain and chaotic period. The prospect of Trump in the White House is ratcheting up anxiety among the 2,500 business and political leaders gathered at the Swiss ski resort for the annual World Economic Forum. With less than 2 weeks before voting and primaries get underway, Trump in the Republican Party lead, those who fear a rise in protectionism and economic mismanagement are speaking out against the billionaire property developer. Eric Cantor. Many of you folks remember Eric Cantor.
Yep.
A Republican in the House. He says, unfortunately, I do think that if there were to be in a Trump administration, the casualty would likely be trade, Eric Cantor said. And that's a very serious prospect for the world. Disaster, Cantor said. He doesn't think Trump will make it through the primaries, a common theme among Davos attendees, who nevertheless are still talking about him. Trump's positions, like a temporary ban on Muslims entering the country and the building of a wall on the Mexican border, are earning him a momentum in the populace, but enemies at the mountain resort. He has also railed at the loss of U.S. jobs to overseas competitors, and on Tuesday said that as president, he would get Apple to start building their damn computers and things in the U.S. instead of China. A Trump administration would be a disaster, according to the Beth Brook Marinac Global Vice Chair Public Policy Ernst & Young, LLP, former advisor to the U.S. Treasury and Clinton and the Clinton administration. The globe needs the U.S. to be strong, she said. The U.S. is still the horse that is pulling the world's cart, and more so now with the capital outflows from emerging markets. The presidential race shows that the U.S. is not immune to the wave of populism, sweeping the globe. In the U.S.'s case, the economy has recovered faster than other developed nations from the global slump from 2008 and 2009, yet wages have not kept pace with a rebound in corporate profits. That's just helping candidates like Trump and Bernie Sanders, who say the system is rigged against average Americans. While Trump's spectator looms large, not many assume he'll actually make it to the White House. I am amazed at Davos about how many people are talking about Trump and taking him seriously, as they are, said Martin Sorrell, WPP's chief executive. I think it doesn't matter who the Republicans put up, Hillary will win.
Also, I agree with that assessment, but that's just me.
George Soros is amongst the attendees here in the Davos Economic World Forum. His statement is Donald Trump is doing the work of ISIS.
And he
goes,
excuse me?
Yes. He says, George Soros goes went on to say that Donald Trump is doing the work of ISIS and that Hillary Clinton will win in a landslide.
All right. Well, okay.
I mean,
that's
interesting. Yeah, on Thursday evening at the World Economic Forum Summit in Davos, Soros used a 45-minute interview with Bloomberg TV's Francine Lacqua to create an explosion of headlines on both the political and economic front. Donald Trump is doing the work of ISIS, Soros said, citing the anti-immigration vitriol that has been the hallmark of the Trump campaign that has risen him in the Republican primary polls. He levied a similar critique against candidates such as Ted Cruz and said Hillary Clinton would win the general election in a landslide. He went on to say, ideas like closing borders to the U.S. borders to Muslims, Soros said, might convince the Muslim community that there is no alternative but terrorism. He also said ISIS's days are numbered, as both Iraqi and Syrian governments will win back the territory the terrorist group has gained. The rise of ISIS and the crumbling of the Middle East has created a crisis for Europe, and Soros said German Chancellor Angela Merkel may have erred in opening the country to refugees. you hear he goes on to say she risked her political capital and lost, Soros said. Nevertheless, he expressed optimism that Germany and other European powers would successfully integrate migrants. That's just some of what,
Snoros. Yes, Snoros. Snoros, man. Yeah.
He's like 180 years old. Looks 250.
Yeah, actually, that's basically from Forbes. Basically the headline and drudge for that reference to the Forbes is Soros snaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at this, and we have to look at the enemy, the global Luciferian elite. We have to look at the people in power that put the faces that we see in power. Because of the information like the folks that you are receiving in the education, they are running they're running.
Well, this is what I wanted to talk about. One, none of these people are elected, yet they hold all the power of the political branch and the economic policy of the world.
Yeah.
Through having and trade, you know. Eric Cantor in the article before this one saying that, you know, if the Trump administration were to make its way to the White House via winning the election, then trade would be the victim. And he said that would be terrible and sad. But what he's talking about is, you know,
but it's not
true, though. No, it's not. What Trump's saying is, you know, and whether Trump is legitimate or not, and whether it matters, you know, who's president in 2016, if we even get to that point.
We're going to get to that point. I'm just not sure what we're going to look like when we get there. Okay. I mean, exactly.
But none of these people are elected. A lot of them seem to be or hold former government positions. As you know, one was quoted as a former assistant treasury secretary under Clinton and Eric Cantor. You know, they're all heads of big businesses and industry now. And, you know, to say that they're running scared, is that a headline that is thrown out there to manipulate the public and what their mindset is about what these Davos people or titans of industry in the world truly human world leaders think, or is this put out there as propaganda?
Very interesting.
You get to the point where you can't dissect news because it's just constant.
That's what they're counting on. See, it's very easy to create fear, panic, and mayhem. And a lot of times people will look at the people in the alternative media and say, oh my gosh, the fear that would grip one if we would take all of the headlines and the possibilities and such and present it in a way, in a haphazard way, in an irresponsible way, of course, it'd be irresponsible to do, I guess. Case in point, Joe and ladies and gentlemen, okay, if you live on the East Coast right now, the 21st day of January, if you live on the East Coast or anywhere, Washington, from Maine down to North Carolina, you might as well say that, and into all the way over to the Ohio Valley. If you live in that swath, what are you looking at? What have you been told? Hey, there's a historic storm, a storm of historic proportions coming at you. Okay. I don't know if, Eric, I don't know if you can grab this photograph from my screen, or if it's really worth it to grab it. But let's see. Sorry. Eric's getting up now and walking over, but for the people on YouTube.
This is about the grocery stores?
Yeah. Here's the deal. You know, Snowmageddon 2016, empty store shelves as the panicked are rushing out to buy everything. And there's a picture of the empty store shelves. Let me tell you something. This is really, what you're seeing right there is a picture of what it's going to be like in the days or the hours, the days, maybe even a week or two, as people wake up and realize, oh my gosh, it is coming. What Hagman and Hagman talked about, what InfoWars talked about, or whatever the insert name of program here talked about, it's coming. And I better get stocked up. Because, see, the very people who are saying, oh, you know, it's a bunch of BS. You push canned food, you push this and push that. Those are the people who emptied these shelves, I can guarantee you. It's the people who have not prepared and who have laughed at those people who have said prepare and who said preparation's not of God. You don't need to prepare. No, because then you lack the faith. Okay? I'm a Christian. I don't need to prepare. My butt, because you're the ones who are going to be emptying the shelves like this, like you see on the screen if you're watching YouTube. It's going to be you who are running out to the stores and ripping things off the shelves and throwing into the cart and taking things out of other people's carts. Because you didn't prepare.
I have some preparations, and I might be in the grocery stores tearing up people's grocery carts and stealing bread and whatnot.
Yeah, I know. I can't see you doing that. But the point is, and this is on InfoWars, the picture, that is, the point is this.
Just a small snowstorm.
Yeah, well, yes. Now, look, is it going to happen?
In a remote part of the country. Yeah, it's going to happen. We just got the 2 feet of snow that they're projecting down there.
All right, but I guess...
Is it going to be apocalyptic in nature? Is it going to shut the city down for weeks? No.
Right.
Remember last year they shut down New York City for like 2 days in advance and not even an inch of snow fell when they expected like 3 to 5 feet. Something crazy amount.
Well, here's the point. And then everything we're talking about today, the bank closings, the war against Christians, the war on all fronts. You see this picture? You see that picture? Did you see the picture that we showed you? Okay. Do you want to be a part of that craziness at the very end? Or do you want to sit back and be able to have some reasonable semblance of reasonable, you know, sanity, where you can sit back and tell your family, look, I have created the provisions for you. We're going to weather this storm. In this case, literally a storm. We're going to weather this. We're going to get through this. Or are you going to be part of the frenzied masses? I prefer the former, not the latter. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Hagman Report. This is the 21st day of January 2016. We're going to be right back after the top of the hour news. Hey, stay with us.
is the Global Star Radio Network.